This morning's lesson is titled, When Things Get Tough. Jesus is tough. Now you may have thought we were going to say, when things get tough, the tough get going. And that's what we're going to be dealing with this morning. It's not when things get tough, the tough get going. That's the opposite of what the Bible says. For the Christian, when things get rough and they get tough and they get hard, you got Jesus who is tough. It's not Jesus gets tough. He is. Because you belong to Him. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says our names are in the book of life. So on that great day, the books are open. And the finger of God will scan those beautiful words penned by the angels and find your name. And because your name is in the book of life, an entrance in heaven will be given to you. Right now, this moment, your name is there. And it takes a whole lot to blot your name out of the book of life. When I was first a Christian, I thought any little slip up, that was the end of you. You're going to hell tomorrow. So the idea was that the angels of God would write your name in the book of life. And every little slip up, they just took out an eraser. Then when you said, Lord, help me, they wrote your name back. Then when you went 56 miles an hour into 55, they erased your name. Then when you said, Lord, forgive me, they wrote your name back. This was my idea. And if they're doing that for millions and millions of folks, there just must be eraser dust all over the place in heaven, flying through the air. Pens going out of style. When your name is written in the book of life, it takes a whole lot. God doesn't even say He erases it. He says He blots it out. It takes a lot. Because along during the way, you're carried through by Jesus. In the Bible, you're called a son of God. You're in His family. And because you're in His family, He fights for you. There's a big difference. Neighborhood kid comes through town, one of the kids pick on him, I don't care, go home and tell your dad. You look out the window and one of the neighborhood kids is picking on your son. That's a different story. You're messing with my family now. You know what I mean? We're sons of God. And God is on our side. And as you read your Bible, you'll find out that God is tough. Jesus is tough. You know, you're taught by life that you ought to learn to toughen up. Quit being so weak. Man up. Or even be told, you're weak. But if you read your Bible, you find out everyone needs Jesus. And because you have a need, you're weak. And you have to accept that and clothe yourself in the idea that you're weak, but Jesus is strong. And you'll learn in a few moments that the problem is when you're constantly trying to show the world how strong you are, Jesus lets you. And you will falter and trip. And He may even let you fall. And until you give up and realize that you're weak, but He's strong, He doesn't step in. When you're weak, does Jesus abandon you? As a matter of fact, you find out in your weakness is where you learn about God more than in any other time. It's when you're in trouble that you learn about God. I'm here to tell you this morning that for those who are trying to toughen up, man up, be tough, tough it out, and not lean on Jesus, you will never be tough enough. It's impossible. Even the biggest trees eventually fall over, and you'll never be tough enough. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So it's like that song, Hand in Hand with Jesus. In the book of Matthew 11, verse 28 and following, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you can keep trying to pull all your problems behind you, toughen up, man up, pride, or you can go to Jesus. But life will teach you differently. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, you find out how strong Jesus is. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That's as strong as you get. In Colossians 1, 16, 17, and following, the Bible says, everything that was made by Jesus. And there's not anything that was made, but that it was made by Jesus, and through Him all things are held together. King James Version says, consist. He's glued it all together. He holds it all together. Someone says, I feel like I'm breaking apart. Jesus holds it all together. He can keep it together, put it back together. He's on your side. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and following, that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And so when the walls are closing in, Jesus is there to hold back the blows. When the bottom falls out, Jesus is there to prop you up, to hold you up, to pull you up. When things are bleak, when things are desperate, when it looks like the world is against you, Jesus is there. Your Savior, your rock, your friend. I want you to remember Elijah. He had a lot of trouble. And he ran away out into the woods. And he thought for sure God had given up on him. And so there was an earthquake. And he went out and the rocks were tumbling off the mountains as the mountains shook. But he didn't hear God. And then there was a whirlwind. And the sound of rushing mighty wind. And God wasn't there. He didn't hear. And then God came to him in a still, small voice. The point is, God was there before the storm. He was there during the storm. And He was there after the storm. He was there the whole time. The Lord's always there as a still, small voice. You may not see Him. And you may even feel like He's abandoned you. God's abandoned me into this earthquake. God's abandoned me into this storm. And his storms of life, Elijah was suffering. Yet God had never abandoned him. He was there the whole time. And the problem is that Elijah was looking for the Lord in the earthquake and the destroying, tumbling mountains. And he was looking for the Lord in the storm and the rushing, mighty wind. And he had forgotten to listen quietly for a still and small voice. The Lord is there. Reminds me of the story of a city slicker that was in his two-wheel drive truck out in the country. And he pulled over to make a U-turn and got stuck in the mud and couldn't get off the road, off the side of the road. So an old man was driving by in one of his horse-drawn plows or carriages or whatever it was. So he went over there and said, I can get you out of the ditch. So he hooked up his horse, Buddy, to the front of this guy's pickup truck. And he said, pull, Moonshadow, pull. And the horse just stood still. And then he said, pull, Coda, pull. And the horse just stood still. And then he said, pull, Nelly, pull. Nothing. Finally he said, all right, Buddy, pull. And Buddy just pulled that truck right out, no problem at all. And the city slicker got out of the truck. He goes, what in the world? Why'd you call him the wrong name three times? And he said, you don't understand. Buddy's blind. Can't see nothing. And if he thought he was pulling that truck by himself, he'd never even start. And that's the point with life. Elijah thought he was pulling it all on his own. Everyone's done. I'm done. God's done with me. Everybody's done with me. God is always there. Right by your side. Pulling with you. Pulling for you. The problem is we tend to see Jesus and his love more clearly when the storms are surrounding us. I want you to think about the storm that Jesus stilled. Remember, he was out on the Sea of Galilee in a little boat with his disciples. And the Bible says that a storm arose. The waves were beating into the ship. The water was spilling over. And the most experienced fishermen who had been on that lake many times in many storms, they're well acclimated to water, were afraid for their lives. They knew they were going to perish at night in a violent storm, in a small boat, in the middle of the lake. And they went looking for Jesus, and Jesus was asleep. And I've often wondered, why in the world is Jesus sleeping? Why are we told that? Well, first of all, have you ever had troubles where you lay awake at night? I can't sleep. You wake up at 1 o'clock, oh, I got problems. Right? No one's ever done that. You might have done it last night. Jesus never did that. He's just sleeping. Question. Got some questions for you. Why was he sleeping? Did he know the storm was coming? When he got into the boat, he knew it was going to happen. He just went to sleep. Question. Could he have prevented that storm from coming in the first place? Didn't he love his disciples? Why did he bring them to death's door in the storm? Because when they woke him up, they said, "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" That close to death. Couldn't he have prevented that? Question. Couldn't he have stilled the storm sooner? Because storms don't just pop up within 30 seconds. You know, the wind blows in, it starts picking up, and more and more. Couldn't he have stopped it sooner? Why did he wait for them to get to the point of perishing? Of perishing. All the way to the end. Another question. If Jesus was sleeping when the water was still, and the storm started, why didn't the disciples wake Jesus up and ask him to do something about it before they were almost dead? Isn't that a great question? And when they finally woke him up, they didn't say, "Lord, you're so powerful, you can do anything. You'll never let us die like this. Can you do something about it?" They woke him up and said, "You don't even care that we're dying." And he opened up his eyes, and the first thing he said, which is the first thing he says to you and to me, "Oh, ye of little faith." When I started this lesson and said, "You're weak," some of y'all said, "I'm not weak." You may be weak. I'm not weak. Jesus would say right to you the same thing. "Well, you're so got faith so great. Oh, ye of little faith." He had just fed the 5,000. He's cracking bread into thousands of pieces right before everybody's eyes. They knew the miracles. They watched dead people come back to life. Sick folks, everything. And they wait. They wait till they're all... I'm going to tell you why they waited till they were almost dead. They didn't think Jesus could do anything about it beforehand. They totally forgot to wake up the Lord. They got their buckets and were getting the water out. They were going to handle it because they're strong, experienced fishermen. They've been here before and they can get through it this time on their own. Oh, the Lord will be so proud. We'll end up at the shore. And Jesus will say, "Y'all did a good job. You didn't need me the whole time." That's why they didn't wake up Jesus. Because I can guarantee you, you put me out in the boat in the middle of the night, the first frog that hops in the boat, the first little jiggle, I'm going to be in Jesus' lap. Lord, it's time to wake up. You got to see what's happening. But the difference here was they were going to power through it. Let them sleep. We got this. And it wasn't until the end that they realized we need Jesus. And so sometimes you see Jesus more clearly when you're in the deepest trouble. Hello? And then you ask God, why have you let me be into so much trouble? Maybe it's better for you spiritually to be in trouble, because you're one of those who doesn't see Jesus as clearly when you're not in trouble. And so if you want to be in less trouble, it seems like you should see Jesus before. Just work on that a little bit. And when someone says you're weak, and that's what the Bible teaches you, you say, amen. That's me. I want you to think about the definition to distraction. It's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else, or that which drags you away from the task at hand. And that's exactly what the devil's doing to you and to me. It's the great distraction. It's the distraction of burdens and troubles and cares. And so the world burdens us with care, burdens us with trouble, and it burdens us with the cares that we keep. That's a whole sermon by itself. The cares that we keep. That's right, the cares that we keep. Every trouble and care we have, it seems like we keep it. We tell everybody about it. What's going on? I got a lot of trouble. I got a lot of problems. Let me tell you about them. Trouble, trouble. Problems, problems, problems. Next week, how are you doing? Not so good. What's going on? I got problems. Troubles, problems, problems. Didn't you have these same problems last week? Yeah, I did. I still got them. And I'm going to have them this time next year too. Troubles and burdens and cares and problems. Years go by. How are you doing? Man, so-and-so used to call me all the time. They don't call me anymore. Maybe because every time they call you, it's 3 hours of your trouble and problems. I don't know. It's the same problems and same troubles. Listen carefully. It's a distraction. It's the devil's way of distracting you. And if a distraction is that which is designed to pull you away from something you ought to be focusing on, onto something you shouldn't be focusing on, then a distraction is not good for you. It's that which pulls you away. Isn't that what the devil's trying to do? So when I say it's the cares that you keep, we got Bible for that. Someone says, give me Bible. We got Bible for that. The Bible says, cast your care on Jesus, for He careth for you. So when I say it's the cares you keep, it's the cares you've decided not to cast on Jesus. My theory is you got cares and troubles, you mull them over for a little while, give it a good 72 hours, give it a good 72 days, but don't do it for 72 years. Let the Lord have it. Because the more you take and the more you keep and the more you talk about what you can't fix and what you can't solve, and the more you feel it and hash it over and feel it for months and years and decades, the more distracted you are. Is that true?
Yes.
You can't do anything about it anyway.
Amen.
And isn't that the Lord's way of teaching you? You can't do anything about it anyway, but the Lord can. He may not, but He can. And what you can't do, He can. And that's what we don't remember. What I can't do, He can. You know, it's a tough life. The Bible says there's no temptation that's come your way but such as is common to man. The problems you have, it's the same exact problems everybody has. May have a different flavor to it, a little bit different hue, but it's the exact same life everybody's living. Is that true? Same thing. Everybody's in the exact same boat. It's a tough life for everybody. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you are never going to be appreciated enough. You are never going to be honored enough. You're never going to be loved enough. You're never going to be liked enough. You're never going to be thanked enough. And you're never going to be treated good enough. The world's not designed that way. But God will always treat you good enough. The problem is the life's designed to get you, to destroy you. That's the devil, isn't it? And when your focus is on that, that's your focus. You wake up at 5 a.m., get your coffee, get your book of troubles out. Where was I? Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, when I was 13, my dad said he was going to buy me a present, and he never got around to it. My mom didn't spend enough time with me. Oh, that's right. Remember that boyfriend I had? That girlfriend. Your friend calls you. What's happening? Going through my book of troubles. I was doing the same thing. What page you on? I'm up into 22 years old. Ooh, baby, I'm right about the same time. What do you want to talk about? And it's hash and rehash and rehash and hash and rehash and hash. You got to learn to lean on Jesus. We sing the song Leaning on Jesus. You got to learn to lean on Jesus. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. You see, you can't lean on your own understanding. You can't prop yourself up by yourself. Someone says, I feel overwhelmed. Join the crowd. You're not special. What made you so special? Everybody's the same. Man, this stuff's hard. Yeah, that's right. You got to learn to lean on Jesus. See, when you lean on Jesus, you get a little more pep in your step. A little more ability to sleep at night. But when you decide you're going to have victory in your own strength, you'll find out eventually how weak you are, and there can be no victory. That's why we sing the song, Victory in Jesus. And sometimes we forget that. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in Jesus. And we forget who to lean on. We sing the song, Leaning on Jesus. And while we're singing it, we're thinking, we're singing Leaning on Jesus, and we're singing, Don't have enough money for the electric bill. Life is causing me trouble. My dad wasn't good to me 45 years ago. But we're singing Leaning on Jesus. Amen? See, it's a peace of mind. No victory in yourself. No victory in anybody else. Victory in Jesus. The Bible says, if God before us, who can be against us? Is that what the Bible says? So there's a nice saying that I'm learning at 47 years old. I never knew it before, but I'm learning better and better. The Lord's got it handled. I used to say, I got that handled. Give them to me. I got it handled. I don't have nothing handled. Jesus has got it handled. Let it come. Bring it on. Call me. Send it to me. Give it to me. I'll give it to Jesus. He's got it handled. And nobody smarter than Jesus. Nobody more powerful than Jesus. Nobody richer than Jesus. And nobody who loves Jesus loves me more than Jesus. Nobody who's looking out for me more than Jesus. You try to come get me, go through Jesus. I just give it to Him. He's got it handled. The Lord's got it handled. I was cleaning out some old paperwork. I found paperwork from like 20 years ago. So what is this junk? I'm looking through all this junk, throwing stuff away. I found an electric bill. We are going to cut your electricity off if you do not pay this bill. Ooh, that's scary. Look at that thing. I don't even remember getting that. And they never cut my electricity off. But I bet you I was worried about it when I got it in the mail. And here 20 years later, it's silly and stupid. Why do we take so many problems and hold them in? I'll tell you why. Because we think we are going to deal with it. But you got to learn to let the Lord deal with it. The Lord has got it handled. Do you trust in your own strength? Are you that strong? If you can't trust in your own strength, who are you going to trust? So the question for the morning is, can you trust Jesus? I remember when I was about 2 or 3 years old, my dad had a swimming pool. I remember jumping off the edge of the pool into my dad's arms into the water. I never would have jumped in the water if my dad weren't there to catch me. And my kids did the same thing. They said, I can't swim, I'm going to die. You're not going to die, I'll catch you. And jump they do, and I catch them. That's what you've got to learn to do with the Lord. The question is, can you trust Jesus? Can you? Then the next question is, do you trust Jesus? If someone says, can I? Well, sure, yeah, well, that's Jesus. Anybody can trust Him. Do you trust Him? Well, just for a few things. I trust Him for a few things. Do you trust Jesus? And then the next question is, will you trust Jesus? Then you could add to all of it, how much? And with what? Well, not everything. With what? Maybe you could trust Him with more. But the problem is, pride gets in the way. And it's not your neighbor's pride, it's your own. You get in the way yourself. Pride gets in the way. And here's the real problem. Since the Lord's alive, and He's never going to leave, and He's always there, and He's there the whole time, in the still small voice, watching you, hoping you grow, listening to these sermons, but being the same person tomorrow you were last week, eventually, praying at night, Lord help me, Lord help me. Eventually, if it's the pride getting in the way, the problem is this. The Lord may need to soften you. He may need to condition you before your head softens up a little bit. Because it's the hard head that becomes impenetrable, you know what I mean? The Lord may need to break you to soften your head. Is everybody listening?
Yes,
someone say, give me a Bible. That's coming, believe me. The last thing you want is to have to be in a condition to where you are so much in your way, but begging for God's help, to where the only way He can help you is to break you to soften your head. Someone says, where's the Bible? Remember the thief on the cross? You got two of them. And for 3 hours while Jesus was alive, they're making fun of Jesus. Both of them. And after, just imagine what it's like to be crucified. One of the thieves is realizing he's in big trouble. You think he would have realized that on the way there. He's looking down at his feet, looking over at his hands, realized he can't breathe. They just got done beating him half to death. He's going to hang there till the birds pick him apart. And when he finally is broken, he looks at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, that's today. Today you'll be in paradise. I had somebody tell me one time, that's not fair. You've got to be kidding me. Step away from me. Because I'm scared when people talk like that. It's not fair that the thief got saved so easily. Let me back up. Because when the lightning comes, when the trouble comes your way, I don't want to be anywhere near it. Begrudging the salvation of somebody else. You need to put some distance. Because I don't want the Lord's discipline to come to you to rub off on me. You be careful with that stuff. Right to the end. Talk about a hard head. Inches from death. Lord help me. I've seen other folks. Oh, pride, and then they break. Then their heart is soft. And they don't think that's where they want to be. But the Lord says, that's just where I wanted you. Just where you needed to be. Maybe it was the green money that was keeping you from Jesus. Maybe it was the health. Maybe it was the great job. Maybe it was all the benefits. You see what I mean? So if there's any time to love the Lord and get out of your own way and trust in Jesus and be faithful to Him, it's when the blessings are flowing. Listen carefully. When the blessings are flowing, it's not the time to be less faithful. It's the time to be more. Because what you're telling the Lord is, the more blessings you give me, God, the worse I'm going to be. Lord, help me. And the Lord said, I'll help you. Let's take these blessings away. Because things were better when you didn't have them. Amen?
Amen?
And then when that happens, Lord, where'd my blessings go? And some folks never get them back. You know what I mean? So I'm here to let you know, you don't want to be the kind of person who needs to be broken for your pride bubble to be popped. In the Bible, you're taught that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. He prayed to God 3 times for it to be removed. God said, no, no, no. You see, God had taken Paul and let him see heaven itself, the only man who's ever seen heaven, and put him back on earth. God had given so many blessings to Paul that he was afraid that it might go to Paul's head and then he'd lose his soul. So in order for it from going into Paul's head, he gave him a thorn in the flesh. And the Bible says the Lord did that to keep him humble. And after the Lord said no the 3rd time, Paul said thank you. And he took whatever the Lord gave him and he did the best he could with it. Because it was the best for him. Is everybody listening?
Yes.
It's the best for him.
Amen.
You may have to stay living where you're living, working where you're working, with who you're with, in the trouble you're in, because it's best for you. Is that right?
Amen.
But it isn't accepted by you. You don't see it until you lean on Jesus. Until you forget the pride. Till you say, Lord, take the best care of me that I need, and you just accept what happens. Because that's you leaning on Jesus. That's Him carrying you through. Some folks think the only way they can be blessed by God and loved by God is if they got a mansion, a Lamborghini, and fame. And until then, God doesn't love me. Or appreciated by everybody, honored by everybody, loved by everybody, liked by everybody, thanked by everybody, and treated good enough by everybody. And then I have arrived. By the way, that's never going to happen. As soon as somebody smells you being treated good enough, they rush on the scene to beat you down because you're being treated better than me. That's what the world does to you. And so you don't lean on the world. Lean on Jesus. You know, sometimes you don't feel like getting going. You ever notice that? So you just toughen up, man up, get up and get going. And people say, I don't feel like toughening up or manning up. And some folks just don't feel like getting up and going. But you know what the Bible says? The exact opposite. The children of Israel were brought out of Egyptian slavery. After the 10 plagues, off they went to their freedom, singing and dancing, blessing and crying out words of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. And after a few miles of their journey, they came up to the Red Sea. They couldn't pass it. They looked to the left, hills. They looked to the right, hills. They looked behind them, by the providence of God, Pharaoh changed his mind, and here he came with his armies to take you back to slavery. And the people said, God has given up on us. Moses is an evil man, brought us out here to die. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he raised his hand, and the sea parted. All their troubles were gone right in front of them. And off they went. But it wasn't until they stood still, trapped in imminent danger, that they were able to see. And that's the first time Moses ever saw that. And how many times has the Red Sea, the parting of it, been talked about in the Old Testament? Talked about in the New Testament? And quoted by human beings on the earth?
Yes.
Billions and billions of times for thousands and thousands of years. What preacher has not talked about the parting of the Red Sea? What Christian has never heard of that? And that was the day the Lord said, stand and see. Stand still. So you may not feel like getting up and going. That's okay. Sometimes you got to stand still before you can see. And you need to stop trying to be strong enough, because you never will be. Stop leaning on your own understanding, because you will fall and you will fail. But lean on Jesus. Realize He's strong. Give it to Him. And stop keeping so many cares. Let go of them. Give them to Jesus. Maybe you can help. Take somebody else's. It's really difficult to help bear somebody else's burdens when you're still so full of them for the last 40 years and you haven't gotten rid of any of them yet. You know what I mean? Just let the Lord have it. So this week I want you to learn to say this. And it's going to take some effort. I want you to learn to say this. Lord's got that handled. He's got a handle. If you go back to the storm and wonder, if they didn't wake up Jesus, do you think they would all died and Jesus too? Did they have to wake up Jesus and ask for help, or would eventually He have helped them? Or is He still going to let the boat sink and Jesus is going to die right there? Well, there we go. Disciples are dead now. Guess they should have asked for help. It's too bad. Better go pick some more. Is that what the Lord would have done? He's got it handled. Let the storms rage. He's got it handled. Let the trouble come. The Lord's got it handled. You focus on your spirituality and your closeness with the Lord, and the Lord will handle the rest. If you're subject to this morning's invitation, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, you come forward while we stand and sing.